Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Children between the ages of 3 and 10, you're welcome to go with Katie for a story and some special time together, and we'll be back with us during the piece.
Through the written word and the spoken word, God, help us to hear your living word, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Palestine, there is an olive tree that is estimated to be somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 years old. It is one of the oldest trees in the world and is held very dear by Palestinians and by some pilgrims to the Holy Land. It is called the Al-Badawi tree, meaning the desert dweller, and she stands firm in a small town near Bethlehem. Townspeople care for and guard the tree that has become a landmark of religious and cultural significance. This tree was standing long before Jesus was born, and on his journey through life, it is perfectly likely that Jesus saw it, touched it, or even ate an olive from it. I find something beautiful and mysterious about trees, rocks, and other natural objects that far outlast the life of humans. The way that God's creation weaves through our human story builds connection across time and space. A shoot shall come up from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Today's portion of our sermon series on Isaiah is all about trees. It is about roots and branches, about old mother trees and new fruit. There are, of course, literal trees that last through the ages, like the al-Badawi tree. But there is also, of course, the tree as a symbol of connection through the generations. The tree of Jesse that Isaiah speaks of is one of the latter. The tree of Jesse is a symbolic point about the lineage of the Messiah, a Messiah we understand as Christians to be Jesus. Jesse is the father of King David, the king who began life as a lowly shepherd and eventually became a very powerful king of Israel. The Jesse tree has also inspired an Advent practice that traces the lineage of faithful people leading to the birth of Jesus, using ornaments to symbolize people and stories through the Old and New Testaments. Some people use a Jesse tree in Advent as a way to remember the many generations of God's people. Jesse tree ornaments include references to Adam and Eve, Noah, Moses, Solomon, Mary and Elizabeth, John the Baptist, and so many more. As he speaks of the tree of Jesse, Isaiah offers us grounding. In presenting radical hope, which Hillary spoke about last week, Isaiah reminds us that the future he speaks of does not come from nothing. The vibrant flourishing that Isaiah imagines for the future of the world stems from the roots of Jesse, from the faithful who have come before. The hope of the prophets is possible because that hope stands in the tradition of trusting God, of following the law of God, and of being in community with God's people. Before imagining the new shoots and branches that Isaiah tells us about, I want to start at the roots of the tree. The root systems of trees are a marvel of creation in my mind, yet another proof that there must be a God. The roots of trees create support. They act as an anchor holding the tree upright, keeping it firmly planted in the ground. We might see these roots as an image of the church, which at our best is a community providing support and anchor, a place where we receive some structure for our lives that helps us to stand firm in God. Tree roots also help with the absorption of nutrients. These lateral roots help to draw up water and nutrients from the soil. These roots can help us to think about the practices that allow us to soak up scripture, to abide in prayer, and to sustain our daily life of faith. There are also the fine roots that stem out even further. These fine roots connect trees of an ecosystem, and they house fungi that increase the means of communication between plants. These fungi make up the mycorrhizal network that allows trees to communicate, to share resources, and to support the growth of young saplings. The mycorrhizal network is an image of our connections with the people throughout our community and world, with other denominations and faith traditions, with secular people and groups, and with creation herself. It is all of the connective tissue that binds us to God and to the world. With these structures in place, Isaiah can imagine new growth. With this grounding, we similarly can imagine a radically hopeful future with God. the God who makes seemingly impossible things entirely possible. Old established roots help to make new fruit possible. By the way, the olive tree I spoke of still bears olives. Old trees and ancient traditions still produce new fruit. Isaiah speaks of a world in which the wolf lies with the lamb, the leopard with the kid, the calf with the lion, the cow with the bear, all led by a little child. Isaiah says, "For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." The earth will be full of the knowledge and wisdom of God. This is possible when we have roots that provide structure, our practices that guide our lives in following the path of God, our communities that ground, shape, and support us. This is possible when we have roots that take in the word of God and absorb the love and encouragement from our fellow wayfarers. This is possible when we have small roots and fungus friends helping us to connect with the world around us. I pray that this church community can be part of your root system. If you simply need a place to have a couple hours of steadiness in your week, we are here. Perhaps you might add a Wednesday night supper or a fellowship group to your weekly routine. If you are looking for ways to absorb God's love, we have Bible study. We have many ways to participate in our worship ministries. We have children and youth ministries that shape our young people and the adult leaders. If you seek connection with the wider world, there is water ministry and refugee response ministry, environment committee, and so many more. The root of Jesse puts forth a new shoot, a Messiah to lead the nations to generative, life-giving peace, as Isaiah describes. The root of Jesse continues to stem forth in each of us, connecting us to ancient peoples who sought to live faithfully in their age. As Christians, we are grounded and rooted in Jesus. We are also grounded and rooted in the generations that preceded Jesus, and are grounded too in the generations that brought the Jesus movement here to us. Our grounding in the ancient helps us to bear new, faithful fruit today. Our rootedness in people and communities who have shown us what it is to follow God through any challenges allows us to put forth new, faithful fruit today. All of this is to say that in God's world, we are never alone. We are not the first nor the last people to face challenges to our faith. These challenges will look different over the course of time, but we have so many faithful witnesses that have paved the way, that created the genealogy of our Savior, and that brought the disciples through to the present generation. We journey together as we tap into our deep roots, grow stronger, and sprout forth new branches and shoots, and share the fruit that is God's love in the world. As a small Advent gift for each of you, there are wooden coins available in the back of the church, and I invite you to take one as you leave today. Perhaps you'll place it in a coat pocket or on your desk or by your bathroom sink. Hold this small piece of God's creation as a reminder of our connection to one another and to God. Feel the new life springing forth from Jesse's tree and the hard wood of the cross. Let this small token serve as a reminder of our rooting and our grounding in God and in the generations of faithful people before us, and as a reminder of the faithful witness we can leave for future generations. In the words of Isaiah, all the earth will be filled with the knowledge and love of God. My friends, may it be so. Amen.